ready to go.
Make sure here.
Yes. Welcome to Hebrew Club. We're winding down the quarter real quick here, aren't we? You guys hanging in all right?
Yeah.
Very good. I'm glad you guys are here, actually. There was no one for lecture and lunch yesterday, I guess. So.
Oh.
Bummer. Oh, well. I didn't do it, so. We are on 1 Samuel chapter 25. We're going to be able to finish it today and get into 26, I think. We're on verse 39. Remember we left off last week, Yahweh struck Nabal and he died. So Nabal had his bad ending. Comes at the end of that whole saga there. And so here we take up with the aftermath of that. Okay, so verse 39. Vayishma David ki met Nabal. When David heard that Nabal had died, Vayomer, Baruch Yahweh Asher Rav et Riv Cherfati Miyad Nabal. Okay. He said, blessed be the Lord who... Now notice what Rav is. What's the root of Rav? Root of Rav is Reeve. That's very good. You remember that easy. Yeah, this is a call perfect, hollow verb, third masculine, singular. And in other contexts, it means to contend with, to strive with or to struggle with, or to... in more legal context, to bring a dispute to someone. Okay, so here it's a little different. He said, blessed be Yahweh, who has kind of taken up my cause. See, Rav et Riv, or one translation had championed my cause. Okay, or notice it's Riv Cherpati. And then you have this, when you have Riv, then you have... the direct object, et riv cherpati, and then you have the preposition min, it's you take up the cause against someone. See, so it'd be against the hand of Nabal. So it's blessed be the Lord who has taken up the riv, the cause of my reproach, cherpati, the cause of my reproach, against the hand of Nabal. All right? Ve'et avdo chasak me'ra'ah. And his servant, his chasak, simply means to restrain or hold back. He has withheld me'ra'ah, from evil. Okay? Namely, from killing Nabal and all his family. Okay? Ve'et ra'at Nabal he'shiv Yahweh berosho. And the evil of Nabal, in other words, the evil that Nabal did, so Nabal here is the subjective genitive, and the evil of Nabal, Yahweh has returned, Heshiv, upon his head. Okay, everybody following me? So again, and he said, blessed be the Lord who has taken up the cause of my reproach against the hand of Nabal, and his servant he has restrained from evil. And the evil of Nabal, Yahweh has returned upon his head. Okay? Vayishlach David vayedaber ba Abigail. Then David sent Vayishlach vayedaber, and he spoke with Abigail. Okay. Some translate this more idiomatically to speak with, more in the sense of to ask her hand in marriage. I can't remember how some people translate it, but that's kind of what it comes down to. Okay, he spoke with Abigail
to propose.
Yeah. Lekachta, to take her for himself as a wife. Lekachta is of course a call infinitive from lakach. All right. So David sent and he spoke with Abigail in order to take her for himself as a wife. That seems the easiest way to translate it. Alright, any questions about that verse? Pretty long verse, actually. Alright, very good. Verse 40. Vayavou avdei David el Abigail ha-Karmelet. Then the servants of David went to Abigail at Carmel. Okay, so she was at Carmel. Vayedabru eleha lemor. And they spoke to her, saying, David shalachanu like lekach take lo lesha. David has sent us to you in order to take you for himself as a wife. That's nice.
The Shalahanu.
Right.
We know that it's. Well, I know that it's from. It's perfect with the
right.
pronominal suffix from context. But would there be a different vowel if it was we sent?
It would be shalachnu.
Okay, so the first. Right. It wouldn't be a schwa. It would be a.
Right. It would be a comets, and then the underneath the lamed would be a patach, and then there'd be a schwa under the chet. So, yeah. All right. So notice the accent is actually shalachanu. And so since the accent is two places back, that comets is reduced to a schwa. That's why you get that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise it's shalachnu.
Okay.
And it stays. Okay, good. Any other questions on 40? 41. Vatakom vatish tahu apaim artsa. Then she got up from Kum and Tishtachu, and she bowed down from Kava. Again, it's the famous Hishtafel. Bowed down, and notice the idiom here, Apaim Artza. She bowed down with her face to the ground. It's kind of a common idiom, and notice that it has kind of this clause, this noun clause has kind of an adverbial function. And you see that, not uncommonly, panim el panim, face-to-face would be another one. See, mikedem miyam, from the east to the west. See, so you can have kind of noun clauses like this. So just translate, she got up and she bowed down with her face to the ground. And apaim in this idiom is always plural. All right. Vatomer hine amateka leshifcha lirotz rag le'av de'adoni. And she said, look, your amatika, your handmaid, will become a shifcha, will become a slave girl. Notice that these two, ama and shifcha, are common. You know both of them, and they're synonyms. And sometimes they seem to be used almost interchangeably. But here there seems to be a distinction made. And in the lexicon, in Kaler Baumgartner, if you look it up, they suggest that the amataka is, they're both, the amataka has a higher status. So the lowest status is the shifcha. She would be the one that would wash, take care of the other women, for example, in a family. All right. And notice how that's what she seems to say here. Look, your handmaid will become a shifcha, lirchotz, to wash, raglay, the feet of the servants of my Lord. So again, she's exhibiting her humility and her virtue, even though it's kind of interesting that she says that, because remember, she has servants that wait on her, as we will see. It's very interesting. Questions through 41? Okay, getting pretty good with lexicon and grammar here. All right, verse 42. Vatemaher vatakom abigail vatirkav al hakamor. So she hastened, a piel from Mahar. She hastened vatakom and she got up, Abigail. So Abigail hastened and got up, vatirkav, and she rode upon hakamor, upon the donkey, her donkey. Vechamesh, here they are. Vechamesh na'aroteha haholakim leragleha. And notice her five naharas, her five servants, her five female servants, ladies in waiting, who were walking leragla, at her feet, who were going at her feet. And maybe that just simply means, and her five servants who were waiting on her, who waited on her, see, who were walking at her feet. Vatelek, and she went from Halak, Ahare Malake, and she went after the messengers of David, Vatehi Lolesha, and she became to him a wife. She became his wife. Okay. Good. Questions through 42. Alright. Vaet Achinoam Lakach David mit Yisrael Vatihena Gam Shtehen Lo Lenashim. Okay. And Achinoam, that's a name, David had taken, okay, from Yisrael, Okay. So you might want to just translate, also Ahinoam, David had taken, you're supposed to understand, taken as a wife from Yisrael. And now notice that this is from Hayah, third feminine plural. You don't see these too often. And also then the subject is Gam, notice the Shetei Hen. And also the both of them, the two of them, became Nashim, wives to him. Also the two of them became his wives. And so the two of them became his wives, if you want to put it that way. So you see, that makes sense. So notice what the narrator is doing. He's kind of backfilling now and telling people that Abigail wasn't his first wife, that he had already taken Ahinoam.
And also Saul's daughter, no?
Well, here, this is the last verse. Here's what we're talking about now. Veshaul Natan et Michal Beto Eish et David. Now Saul had given Michal, his daughter, the wife of David, Lepalti, to Palti, Ben Laish, son of Laish, who was from Galim. Who was from Galim, see? So notice that the narrator in a couple verses kind of wraps up the marital situation here for David. And what happens to Michal here. Okay. Good. Any questions through 44 again? Kind of reached a conclusion very nicely of one episode, pretty prominent episode. And now we start another. Let me get on my map here just so you remember where we are. Remember, David is still on the run. And the Ziphites, you'll be able to see, it's kind of right in the middle of the map there, just so you guys get your bearings again. And we take up the Ziphites again. And remember, these Ziphites, we saw a very similar incident in chapter 23. So the Ziphites seem to be continually supporting Saul. For whatever reason, they are loyal to Saul. All right. Can't remember the exact verse of 23. I think, yeah, we'll get there somewhere, sometime. I think I got it here if I can find it. Let's see if I can. Oh, yeah. 1 Samuel 23, about halfway through in verse 23 is when they start doing that. Well, it's even before that. But anyway, I'll show you when we get there. So we're at verse 26, or chapter 26 now, verse 1. Okay. Vayavou ha-zipim el Shaul ha-giv'ata lemor. Then the Ziphites, see the Ziphim, the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibbata, at Gibeah. Again, remember that's his hometown, at Gibeah, saying, "Hallo David, mistater be Givat ha-chakila." Hallo, is not David mistater, hiding? Again, this is a hit pile from satar participle. Is not David hiding in the hill country of Chakila? See, so notice that the Ziphites, still loyal to Saul, went to Gibeah and suggested where David might be. Okay, al panei ha Yeshimon, facing Yeshimon, or in front of Yeshimon. That's just another place name there. Okay, verse 2, vayakum Shaul vayeredel midbar Zif. So Saul rose and he went to the desert of Zif. Ve'ito shaloshet alafim ish bechure Yisrael. And with him were 3,000. So he had quite a sizable army still with him. Shaloshet, 3,000 alafim, 3,000 men. Notice the singular, don't let it bother you. Bechure, the chosen ones of Israel. All right. Again, that's a call passive participle, plural in construct, uses substantive. Chosen ones of Israel. Levakesh et David, to seek David, bemidbar Zif, in the desert of Zif. Okay. Any questions through verse 2? Yes?
The hello?
Yes.
Is that a word, or is that something with the interrogative?
That's a low plus interrogative.
Oh, okay.
Right. And so when you see it, I can't find it right now. Oh yeah, it's in verse 1 right there. Yeah, and the low looks strange because you have the full plain A spelling there with how low you, I don't know if you always do, but it seems like you do more often than not. Yeah. Okay, verse 3. Vayichan Shaul begivat ha-hi ha-chakila asher al-panei ha-yeshimon al-haderek. Okay, and Saul encamped. What's the root of Vayichan?
Chana.
Very good. Chana. That's those third hey verbs shorten. And Saul encamped begivat in the hill country of Chakila. So he was in the area, which is al-pi opposite or facing ha-yeshimon, okay? Al-haderek, on the road. Okay, so namely, he encamped on the road in the hill country of Chalila, which is opposite Yeshimon. Okay? V'david yoshev ba-midbar, va-yar ki ba-sha'ul acharav ha-midbara. And David, Yosheb, was dwelling in the desert, was staying in the desert. Okay? Vayar, and he saw, namely, you'd have to understand this somehow, that he realized that Saul had come after him to the desert. Okay? So notice you have this circumstantial clause starting with V'David Yosheb. So, you know, notice how verse 3 is structured. So Saul encamped in the hill country of Chalila, which is opposite Yeshimon, on the road. Okay, while David was staying in the desert, he saw that Saul had come after him to the wilderness. Okay, and then we get the follow-up in verse 4.
What does circumstantial mean?
It gives the circumstances for the action. So, in other words, if you were said, she came into the room while I was reading a book, the circumstances of her entering the room would be you're reading a book. So that's why, and very often circumstantial clauses, notice this is not a vav consecutive, you very often have like a participle like this. And we've seen kind of this thing before, to just to describe what David is doing, when he learned that Saul had come after him. See, notice that it's trying to, in verse 3, tell you that several events are happening, not one after the other sequentially, but at the same time. So Saul was encamped in the hill country while David was in the desert. And while that was happening, David also learned that Saul was there. Okay? Verse 4. Vayishlach David merag lim vayedaki ba Shaul el nakon. Okay. Then David sent merag lim, spies. Alright. Spies are probably as good as any. Vayeda. And he learned that Saul had come. Now notice this idiom el nakon. This is what I was talking about in 1 Samuel 23, verse 23. You have the same idiom, El Nakon, Nakon being a Niphal from Kun. So, and it's used adverbially with certainty. So, namely, David sent spies and learned with certainty, see, learned for certain that Saul had come. And if you go back to 1 Samuel 23, you'll see the same thing. Remember, Saul wanted to be certain where David was, and it's the same El Nakon. Okay, so I think that it's easiest if it modifies that verb vayeda. Okay. Good. Any questions? Alright. Verse 5. Vayakum David vayavo el hamakom asher chana sham Shaul. So David rose and he went to hamakom, to the place. Oh, you can already figure what's going to happen. Where? Now notice the relative clause, Asher Chana Sham Shaul. Where encamped there was Saul. And notice in English the Sham we would not even translate. Where Saul was encamped.
So most of the time when you have an Asher, it's going to have something that kind of like backs it up.
In standard Hebrew you have a resumptive pronoun or something like that in nice prose. But very often it's left out. I mean, you just would leave it out, and so they do. And so sometimes to us, the Hebrew seems too terse. and you have to figure out the best way to render the relative clause. So just remember, too, sometimes the antecedent for the relative is left out, too, to be understood. But very commonly we've seen that presumptive pronoun or that resumptive thing is left out. Here it's not. Okay? All right. So David rose and went to the place where Saul was in camp. Vayar David et hamakom asher shakav sham Shaul. And David saw et hamakom, the place where Saul lay. Where Saul there lay. Okay? The Abner ben Ner sar Zevabo. And Abner, the son of Ner, prince of his army, chief of his army. Okay? Now here's another circumstantial clause. Notice how it's very similar to that one we saw in verse 3. The Sha'ul Shokev, notice the participle. The Sha'ul Shokev ba Magal. Okay, this word Magal, no one's quite sure exactly what it's referring to, but most people think that it means some kind of entrenchment, you know, like a foxhole or some hollow place. Okay. Now Saul, Shokev, was lying down or was sleeping in the entrenchment. Okay. Veth ha'am, now notice am here means army, not people in general. Here's a very good example which we've seen before. And the army, Chonim, was encamping sevivotav, all around him. Okay, so once again, David saw the place where Saul was sleeping, where Saul slept. Okay? And Abner, son of Ner, chief of his army. Now, Saul was sleeping in the entrenchment, and the army was camping all around him. Sevivotav. Okay? Questions through verse 5. All right, verse 6. Vayan David, Vayomer el Ahimelech ha-chiti ve'el Avishai ben Zerurah Ahiyoav le'mor. David answered and said, from Anna, notice, and David answered and said, and I don't know what he answered, I mean, it's not in the text, but they probably said, hey, what should we do? And he answered and he answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Avishai, remember Avishai, son of Zeruah, the brother of Joab. Remember, Joab was the chief of David's army. And Joab, remember, was the nephew of David, and there were and Avishai was Joab's brother. So remember, there was three brothers that were warriors for David that we meet in the narrative. You will meet them in subsequent chapters as well. Okay, so David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai son of Zeruiah the brother of Joab, saying, "Mi yered iti el Shaul el hamachaneh? Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp?" So they must have been somehow up above, higher than them. Vayomer Abishai, and Abishai said, Ani, I will go down Imak with you. Okay? Good. We're going to stop here because we moved pretty well there. Any questions through verse 6?
How about the yes? He answered and said, that's in Greek too, right? With all the time in the synoptics. Is that...
Yeah.
Is that a Greek?
Sometimes you have it.
I think
it's the other way around, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's more with Semitism, yeah. Or became part of the Greek language, Koine language.
I'm not sure which one. As a result of them reading the Hebrew.
Could be. A more of a Semitic way of talking. Because you see that all the time in Hebrew, right? He answered and said. You know, in English we probably say, in answer he said. But it seems odd here because there's no one who said anything to him. All right, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So are you going to keep going throughout this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to miss you.
Through June.
So you are going to meet next week?
Yes. I will meet next week.
Good.
Take care, man.
I'll be here.
I'll have nothing to do.
It'll be Thursday. You're done.
Yeah, the truck is here following.
See, you have nothing to do.
Or 4 o'clock and it's like half.